Well, this is Adam Shartoff, host of Daily Buzz and Film Wax Radio. Double your value here. We're coming from the Toronto International Film Festival. It's the 39th edition. And this segment is produced by Irene Cho. And we are recording out of the ballroom, which is a bar and a bowling alley. So if you listen very closely, you might actually hear some pins. And I'm sitting with filmmaker Laura Nix and film subjects Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, who with their film called The Yes Men Are Revolting. Pun intended. It's a great title. One first thing that comes to mind, everybody, is this film is a sequel of sorts, right? Of sorts. You know, it's sort of an interesting, interesting phenomenon that's been going on in the documentary world. Documentaries have blown up in the last 10, 15 years or so, and now there's an opportunity also to pick up the story and continue with the second film. What it's motivated you, you know, because this is the third installment?
Yeah. Well, we're doing a third film because really there was unfinished business after the first two. Yes, yeah, so we are called the Yes Men, and for 20 years now, me and Andy have been impersonating business leaders, and we've been infiltrating events, and we have been messing with stuff in a way that gets news.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it to make a political point. And the reason we've got a third film now is that, well, we had more to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a different way to say it, a way that's more engaging, because this story actually is also about our personal lives, and it's about overcoming obstacles and coming together to really fight for the change that we need at this critical moment. And this is a moment, it's a make or break moment for history, because climate change is threatening everything, and we have got to bring it together to stop it.
Yeah. The film has got a lot of humor to it, but I will say the infographics that you introduced when talking about towards the beginning about just what the potentially could happen in the Arctic were pretty scary.
Yeah, it's
very scary.
Yes, it's very scary. I mean, yeah. The thing is, scientists are saying that we are facing an Armageddon-like scenario. We are facing basically the extinction of most of the species on the planet. We're facing, many of them say, the collapse of civilization, you know, in a short amount of time. When I say short amount of time, I mean, you know, not during our lifetimes, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. during our children's lifetimes. And that's pretty fucking scary.
Yes.
So we've got to act.
Andy, do you have something to add to that? Do you have something to add to that?
Very, very, very scary.
very good there.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, as the infographic says, it's very scary. But also, it's not just a scientific problem. I mean, we've caused this and we can fix it to some degree.
Right.
Probably not entirely, but we could definitely increase the chances of our survival and make for a much more livable planet. And we could do that by stopping the extraction of fossil fuels entirely. And it would take us 20, 30 years to completely convert to renewables, including vehicles, including airplanes, the whole thing. It's technically there.
Yeah.
It's technically possible. We don't actually need much new technology for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't. It's not behavioral. It's political. It's like there are forces that want to get that stuff out of the ground because they own it,
sure.
and they're making a shit ton of money on it. They're making a poo ton of money on it, I think, as we say on the air. The oil companies,
yeah.
Exxon, Shell, whatever, Chevron, all the fossil fuel companies, period, they own the resources that they own, mm-hmm. and they have to extract them. If they say, no, we're not going to extract them, we're going to leave them in the ground,
mm-hmm.
their value will collapse and they'll go bankrupt and all their shareholders will not make money. So within our system, the way we've organized it, we're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to change capitalism itself to fix the climate problem.
Mm-hmm. Laura, you were nodding before. In terms of, have you participate in either of the earlier installments of the?
I was one of the members of the producing team on the second one, Yes Men Fix the World. And the first film was directed by Chris Smith. And second film, these guys directed. And then this third one, we directed together. But I've known them a really long time. I went to college and graduate school with Mike and known him since he was 18 years old. And I was around when they first met and started working together. And I remember when they first started working together. And, you know, I was also friends with the girlfriend that dumped him and saw the whole story. And I wanted audiences in this film to finally have access to what they're like as people and not just see them as these kind of activist superheroes, but to see what it's like to do this kind of activism for almost 20 years and to get some kind of insight into the nature of their collaboration, which, you know, at times it has some contention. And even if they share affinities and they share the same kind of sensibility and they share a political viewpoint, working with people and collaborating is hard, and especially if you're doing it for a really long time. So I think that giving access to that personal story in this film is also a more relatable way to go, because you see them as characters, you see them as flawed human beings, and you see them as people who sometimes fail and as people who lose hope or can get depressed. And that's what it's like to do activism. But that's also what it's like to be a human being living on this planet in 2014 and wondering, what can I do to address this problem? It's the biggest problem we've ever faced in civilization, and we have to do something about it. And it's very hard to maintain hope and to feel like you can keep going. And these guys are able to figure out a way to keep going, even with all the obstacles and the challenges that they face. And we wanted to be able to tell that part of the story along with all the things that audiences have come to expect from Yes Men actions, which is all the humor and chaos.
There are also other, I mean, it sounds like it's purely an environmental doc, and it isn't. It's much more than that. It's also, there's other events, projects that you guys are involved in during the course of the film. For instance, you make a trip to Uganda at one point, and there's a kind of both a political and a personal issue that you guys kind of grapple with while you're there, and that is, of course, they're trying to legislate the murders of homosexuals, right? And also, Andy, you're an out gay man, so that was a very personal part of the film for you, as I assume.
We decided to go to Uganda. Well, the film says why we decided to go to Uganda. Mm-hmm. And it was important to go because of this giant issue, but there was this other thing going on there,
right,
that I couldn't ignore. And I almost didn't go. I was
sure
pretty opposed to going, actually, at first. And then I was convinced that, you know, that it would actually be more useful to go and draw a little more attention to it in the film than to not go. So
yeah.
I went.
When you're trying to create the arc of the film, I was wondering, were you concerned in terms of the types of issues you introduce into the film? In other words, making the film impact the types of stories that you wanted to include? I'm saying.
Well, I mean, quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we, as always, like, this has been our life for the last 20 years, basically.
Sure.
Doing these things with the idea of making something that'll pack a punch,
right.
So a bigger thing, a movie. Yeah, so we do things often because they make sense. We follow one lead instead of the 10 other leads that there are because we're telling a story.
Right. You mentioned earlier, Laura, the Andy and Mike's relationship, which has been going now for decades long. And during the course of the doctor, you had another child.
Oh, yeah. But this is one of the things, like having children, being a parent, that can be challenging because you have time commitments for that. There's a lot to do. And so the ways that we were working previously, where I could just work through the day and into the night, were no longer possible because I wanted to spend time with my kids. And that had an effect on our working relationship.
Well, of course.
And you see that in the film. And it's something that I think everybody who's been through similar situations, like just real life,
right,
can identify with. And that's why we feel like this is, you know, film that people need to see of all the Yes Men films, because it's the one that audiences will identify with.
That more than just your ideologies come through.
In other words, not just about the politics, even though ultimately it's the politics that's motivating us, and we hope people will see and identify through this movie and move forward to join movements.
I mean, the secret weapon for the Yes Men is humor, and the fact that every film is really funny and the stunts are funny, and people who wouldn't normally watch a climate change documentary or identify with being an activist or thinking that they can create change, they watch a Yes Men film and they're like, oh, you know, that's really funny. That's engaging. Maybe I can do something about this. And it's a way of preaching beyond the choir and being able to go beyond what the target audience for a quote-unquote climate change documentary might be, to be able to get more people involved and to be able to get people who would never think about these issues to all of a sudden realize they can do it and laugh at the same time. And showing their personal story is even another way of making it more accessible to people.
Well, the name of the film, again, is The Yes Men Are Revolting. And it's directed by Andy Bickelbaum, Mike Bonanno, and Laura Nix. And it is having its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival.
That's correct. It's a world premiere here.
Is this your... You can inform me, is this the first time you've had a world premiere at Toronto?
In 2003, we had a world premiere of the first Yes Men movie here, just over a decade ago. And so it's great to be back in Toronto with the third film in this trilogy. Although you don't have to see the first two to see this film.
Well, like your ongoing growth of your family and the additional children that seem to keep coming out, could...
Three films.
There you go. Why say it's a trilogy?
That's it. That's exactly it. I've got a trilogy of children as well. Next, I got to teach them to pick up cameras.
Right. Well, I appreciate you all finding time to come on to our podcast here. And
thank you. I know it's been a challenging environment, so we appreciate this the time.
Well, nice meeting you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.